Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Motherlode Podcast. We are your alternative parenting show. I'm Constance Zimmer.
And I'm Misty Pyle.
Listen, we all know parenting is fucking messy. Everything you see is a lie. We all know it.
And we want to rip the Band-Aid off of being a parent.
Is your toddler getting on your fucking nerves?
I don't have a toddler.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. Today's episode is for you. It doesn't even have to be your toddler. It could be just is your kid just taking your last nerve and just grinding it over a blade of steel.
Is your partner driving you crazy?
That's right. If so, this episode is for you. We have Abigail Wald, who is a certified hand-in-hand parenting instructor. And she can help you with all this bull jive. Stuff that helps your toddler become a more functioning member of society can also help your husband. I worked personally with this woman when my daughter was screaming at me and hitting me. My friend was like, oh, hey, my daughter used to throw her bucket of pee at me after she peed. And I spoke to this woman, Abigail Wald, at Hand in Hand Parenting. It was amazing. So I thought, I'll call her. And I did. And we have her on the show.
And it's clearly helped Missy because she is now here on the podcast talking about it.
So please give it a listen.
Please give it a listen. It is going to be a real humdinger.
I know, Missy, I got to know you. I get to know lots of moms all around the world. It's pretty cool. I've got moms from Bahrain and Zambia and Denmark and US and UK now. This is kind of crazy. And it's turned into this whole worldwide thing because it started with me crying in my living room. It started with me literally not having any clue. There was like a moment. So I have two kids. They're both 12 and 10 right now. And when I first had my kids, I thought I was like this conscious, loving person. I was totally going to know how to do this stuff. And I had literally no clue. I couldn't believe how quickly I could go to rage or grief or shame or guilt or just like hating myself, hating my kids, and then feeling like the person, like I didn't know what to do. And I kept reading all these books and I kept trying everything. I went to all the classes and nothing worked. And then
and it didn't teach you shit, did
no,
it?
No. Well, wait, I'm going to tell you what it taught me, actually. No, this is a true story. So I was actually pretty good until I had my second kid. And it was funny because we had had all these challenges. Like my first son was born needing open heart surgery. And so we had been through like a lot of stuff as a family. And I was pretty good. I still was like really holding it together. And I had my second kid. And somehow the sibling rivalry, which was like the smallest thing we had dealt with, that was like I was done. I was like, we didn't all make it through hell to have this. And I was like, I couldn't take it.
See, that's why we're from the one and done club. We only, Missy and I each only have one kid.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like, I cannot believe what we have all been through. And like, you cannot hit your brother. Like that just will not happen. And so everything I tried to do, like nothing worked and everything made me, I literally was absolutely certain my two-year-old was a psychopath. Like I'm not joking. I was like, and I had medical reasons. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, he was on this machine. Like oxygen didn't get to his brain. Like he's clearly not a normal human being. I would say no, and he would laugh in my face, and it was just horrible. By the time he was two, we were locked in like a life and death power struggle. And somebody once told me, like, toddlers have more time and more energy to fight with you than you have with them. Like, they got nothing to lose. And so
they don't have an iCal on their phone.
Exactly.
They don't have to add to their Instagram account.
They have nothing else to do with their lives but to make your life hell.
And that was really what it felt like. Yeah. I swear that was what it felt like. And I had so much love for my kids and I couldn't figure out like why was this love not enough? So I just couldn't, I don't know. It like brought me to my knees. And the worst part about it for me personally was that I had had really specific I had had an interesting childhood, and I had had very specific ideas about what I wanted to be as a parent and what I didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. And so in those moments that I was parenting, or quote unquote parenting my child, really just screaming at him, I really found myself being the person I didn't want to be. And that brought me to my niece. Like, that was it. I was done. I was like, you can kill me now. I have failed. It's over.
Yeah. How are we going to do this for another 16 years?
Yeah. It was horrible.
Try 30.
Yeah.
Not my kid. I go to college and then start taking care of me.
So, yeah. So then I wound up reaching out at that point. So I'll tell you. So first of all, around that time, one of the classes that I took, my husband used to literally, before we'd go to the class, he'd go, "Are you ready for angry mommy class?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, let's do this." And we would go, and it was horrible because everything they would tell me to do just made me angrier, because it was all about the kid. Mm. And it was like, "Oh, well, your child needs you to be this perfect parent." I was like, "I'm already trying," you know? And I was like, "What about me?" And nobody was taking care of me. It was all about what my child needed. And I already knew what they needed. I just couldn't do it. Ultimately, I wound up reaching out to this organization. And the first thing that really made sense to me was, after everything I had tried, I wound up reaching out to Hand in Hand Parenting. And it's a wonderful nonprofit organization. And my very first call to them, I was like, you know, and they were just there.
I think that
for
was
me.
My, how I was at when I went to your house.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's just where we all get to, right? Yeah. I was just a wreck. And they just literally like caught me midair. And I remember saying, like, "I'm a horrible parent." And he was like, "You sound like a lovely mom." And I was like, no. And yeah, and it was this guy on the line. And I was like, "Who are you?" And it was all just crazy. But then I wound up learning all the hand-in-hand tools, and they're incredible. And now 10 short years later, I really awesomely—
You've just now figured it out 10 years later?
No, I figured it out within the first 6 months. And then I started putting it together, and I built other systems too on top of Hand in Hand, because I did become a Hand in Hand Parenting instructor, and I love Hand in Hand.
Okay. So can you explain to us what Hand in Hand is? Like, are there basics, or is it just a style of parenting?
If you were going to stylistically put it in a box, it would be parenting by connection. But when you say that, often people think like, oh, it's this just permissive, lovey-dovey parenting, and it's not. It's basically a collection of 5 tools that you use. They're like legs of a table. Like, each one of the tools is really valuable, and then there's kind of the tabletop. And so together, it really makes your parenting stand.
What are those 5 things?
So the 5 tools over at Hand in Hand are, number 1, special time, which is not the same thing as quality time you spend with your child. It's actually a very particular kind of quality time you spend with your child that's child-led. And there's all these studies behind this about why that makes a difference. But really showing up, what it really is the way I like to put it is this. We can spend all day running around taking care of our kids, thinking we've done something for them. But in their mind, we're running away from them to make lunch. We're running away from them to get the tutu they forgot to bring to school. We're like telling them to do their homework. We're doing all this stuff that we are like, this is me loving you, but it doesn't feel loving to them because it's not actually what they want. And so it's about taking a moment to kind of stop time in the day and say, hey, and you can do this with your partner too, to say, hey, I love you. I'm just here as a person just to be in your presence for a few minutes and just like, what do you want to do? Like, what about you or your life or something you see in life do you want to show me? And for a 1-year-old, that's like, let's play with blocks.
Yeah.
And for a 15-year-old, that might be like, I need you to fix my Instagram account. It's about showing up for somebody with what matters to them.
Okay. So that's special time.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's more rules around that and more specifics about why and how and all that. But yes, that's basically it. And then the other one is stay listening, which sounds funny, but what it is basically what you do when a child has an absolute meltdown tantrum. And how do we handle that? Because our go-to is, I mean, so many things come up for us in that moment. Like for me, what came up was, again, like all of my history with my family of like, how could you have a tantrum over spilt, you know, cashews when right. like we've been through
or
this.
Spilt milk.
Yeah.
There's no crying over spilt milk.
Like a cashew.
I've got cashew on the
no
brain.
No crying over spilt cashew milk either, even though it's incredibly expensive.
You should definitely cry over spilt
that
cashew
that you should cry
milk.
Over.
It's very yeah. good in coffee. I use it in coffee.
Okay, so stay listening. Clearly not very good at that.
So stay listening is most of the time when a child loses it, we have several thoughts. Number one, we're worried socially about all the people around us, what they're thinking, what's going on.
That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. And it isn't just them. It can also be your family members.
Yeah, totally.
Your parents, your mom, your...
Yeah. And then there's your own, as I said, your own trauma comes up or your own history or your own ideas or beliefs, right? So that's another huge piece. Mm-hmm. Another thing is like, we love this person. So we kind of want to fix it and we just want to make it stop. We might also be having our own physical reaction to literally the sounds coming from our child. Like, can sometimes just, you have your own, like just purely physical, like just stop reaction, yeah. right? So there's a lot going on when a child has a tantrum. And here's what I think is so radical about all of this. Like what I love is, you know, like I said before, like I was quote unquote parenting. Like what I thought was parenting was like handling situations, you know, like making my child, setting my child up for success in certain ways and handling things and fixing things and making them act certain ways and learning, you know, how to use the potty. And I realized like that's not parenting. Like parenting for me, what it's become, and it's a pretty radical definition, but I really freaking love this, is it's about like spiritually, physically, emotionally shepherding someone through their journey where they need to be.
Love it. And I think that's so, so very, very important to hear as a parent, because I do think it is one of the biggest problems is we are trying to sometimes make our kids like ourselves and instead and not trying to just embrace who they are and help them, you know, be that and become that and be okay with that.
So you can take a tantrum and look at it like from that perspective and say, okay, there's a tantrum here going on. So am I going to come from my trauma? Am I going to come from my social shame? Am I going to come from my need to make it stop? Or am I going to help this person who's now struggling with something? And what is their journey in this moment? And I know that sounds really like philosophical, but in reality, what we don't understand is very often a child crying about something is actually a child, and it's a complicated thing because there are many different kinds of cries and many versions of this moment. But and a child crying can often be in response to, let's say we set a limit. Let's say we say, oh, that's, you know, daddy's phone. You can't hold that, right? Whatever it is. Or I don't want you to spill milk on it. Whatever it is. Some reasonable.
Back to the milk, Abigail. Cashew milk.
No cashew milk on the phone. And so we set this very reasonable limit, and then the child cries. And then we're like, no, you can't cry because it makes me feel bad for setting a limit. Do you know what I mean? There's
yes,
this whole
yes,
thing
I
that
get
happens.
It, I get it.
But mm-hmm. if we are actually going to really genuinely be what I like to call clean, and that's what I love about parenting this way, is it really forces me and the parent to rise, right? Like we are forced to get ourselves clean to really understand what we're doing in this world and not just be reactive. And so then you say, okay, if this child is crying because I've just set that limit, that child is actually, I know this sounds, it's pretty intense. It takes a moment to really understand it, but the child is grieving the loss of being able to do this thing that they had an idea they wanted to do.
I mean, and, I cry over that stuff today as an adult. Hey.
God, your rack looks amazing, Constance. What's your secret?
My rack? Mm-hmm. Are you referring to my boobs?
Yeah.
You know what? I honestly have to say I am wearing my third love bra.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And it might have
what are
become
your first
my
two
third
loves?
Love. My kid and my husband.
And then my bras.
And my bra. Look, I was skeptical because I don't like underwire bras, mm-hmm. but this bra is real comfy. Mm-hmm. It's got a perfect fit because for some how they use data points and they're generated by millions of women who have taken the Fit Finder quiz. And so they design bras with the breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and a premium feel.
It's more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes.
Yeah, all you have to do is answer a few simple questions to find out your perfect fit in 60 seconds. I did it. It was so fast. It was so easy. And then it showed up at my door.
Wait, what? Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it for you and donate it to a woman in need.
I mean, it's a win-win, you guys. Win-win. Third Love knows there is a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/TML now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase.
That is thirdlove.com/TML for 15% off today.
Your boobs say thank you.
Who wants a new skill to share? I do.
Skillshare.com. When you're a mom or a dad or a person who's really busy, like sometimes you get just kind of stuck in a rut and it's like hard to be inspired, right?
Yeah, and you forget that you were good at other things.
That's right. In steps, boom, Skillshare.com.
Skillshare is an online learning community that has thousands, I mean thousands of amazing classes that are covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills.
That's right. You can take classes in like everything, photography, creative writing to design. There's one entitled The Perfect 100-Day Project, Your Guide to Explosive Creative Growth.
Oh, I mean, God.
Who doesn't want to be explosively creative?
All in 100 days.
As long as it's not explosive in other ways.
In your pants.
Right.
Anyways, we digress because here's the deal. I think that lifelong learning is so important because we're all forgetting that we have to learn something new every day to continue to progress as human beings.
Yeah, and if you want to like avoid things like Alzheimer's, I think this is true. You have to challenge yourself. You have to get outside of your comfort zone, like make your brain do something different. Explore something new. Skillshare has classes for you.
And look, the older you get, the less milestones you have to hit. So why not create some new ones by looking up some classes that work for you and your life on Skillshare?
Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free.
What? Skillshare is offering the Motherload listeners only 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/Motherload. Again, go to Skillshare.com/Motherload to start your 2 months now. That is Skillshare.com/Motherload.
What this all is reminding me of, too, is when a lot of people, and I don't know if Hand in Hand is a part of that, but like I got a lot of crap in the beginning of parenting because I treated our 6-month-old like she was a 10-year-old. Like we would talk to her like an adult when she couldn't even talk back. And we didn't do a lot of the babying to the baby. And I had got a lot of flack for it. And people were like, you're treating her like she's an adult. And I said, I'm treating her like she's a human being.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put her in a category.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I treat her now, like in a way that I acknowledge and understand that she has needs, even though I can't understand half of them, I just feel like it'll make us communicate better from here on out. But if I'm going, you know, I mean, listen, I sang, I did the high voices, I did all that. I'm not saying I was just like a strict stern, but
hi, Munchimo. Hi, baby. Hi.
Because you will do that stuff. If they laugh at you, you'll do it like for 5 days in a row. I mean, that I get, but it was really like we did get a lot of flack for talking to our kid when she was
so
one.
Interesting. You got flack for
in a way that they were like, why? Yeah. I mean, it was, I didn't understand it because I wasn't doing it for any reason, except I thought, how would I want to be spoken to? You know, it's the whole like treat others how you would like to be treated was kind of my take on it. So, but and I think that I hearing you say it that way is a lot more of what it makes sense to like. If I had that in my back of my brain that I could say to people, hey, you know, I'm just.
I mean, you just brought up like three different topics that I think are fascinating. So I don't even know where to go with that.
Okay, like, we still have to do our legs. We still have to. We're still building our legs.
But let me just back up for a second because you've just brought up some really interesting stuff. If you're going to bring up
all that stuff, Constance.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But I mean, one thing is this concept of parent shaming. Like, there is so much parent shaming around that is just so painful.
We do it on this podcast, don't we?
Only to each other.
Only to each other. We totally shame each other because we know each other. That's mutual shaming.
That's like a sexually consensual event. I think that is a real huge piece of it. You know, I had a day early on in my parenting, and I'll tell you guys actually about that. I'll loop back in a moment. But I think that parent shame is a big deal. And number two, you bring up this idea of like do unto others as we would have done unto ourselves. And I actually think that is like kind of a crazy rule on some level. And I know people take it as like a golden mean, but it's like, I actually think it's crazy. Like if I like chocolate ice cream and you're like allergic to chocolate ice cream, I shouldn't give you chocolate ice cream. Like I think we should do unto others as they want to be done unto them. Do you know what I mean? So I just like to rewrite that rule because I think like it, the reality is, and that's what I think is so beautiful about this kind of parenting is we are really genuinely taking a moment to listen to another human being, to say, hey, you may have different needs, wants, feelings, thoughts about this situation, and I'm actually going to make space for you. It doesn't mean I'm not leading, because I think as the parent, we are in leadership and we have to be in leadership. There have to be limits. You have to know where you're going. Right? Otherwise, a child is actually uncomfortable. Like, you know, there's some parents who are like, do you want this? Do you want to go to school? Do you want to not go to school? Do you want this? Do you want, like, no, like you use your knowledge, but then you'd make space for the other person's experience within that. And you use your knowledge to guide them thoughtfully. And
yeah, I think, see, I'm bad like that. I give like 20 options. And my husband's always like, stop with the option. Just tell her what you're going to do and do it. Yeah, but I like options. I like to know that I can have a choice.
But you're older. Your brain is done.
It is? I'm fucked. I'm so
done. No, I mean, done. There's no more learning.
It's too much. You know, they need you to make, give like two.
Yeah, I think some options is nice.
I like an odd number. I like to give three.
Go for three.
But I hear you. But I understand. No, sometimes I think it really confuses her even more when she was like, no, I told, and she will now say what my husband says. She goes, Mom, stop giving me options. I already told you I wanted this one thing. Don't give me more options. So now I'm doubting that I wanted that one thing I originally said I wanted. And I was like, oh, Lord, help us all.
Yeah. But I mean, but you might be someone who loves options. And so you might, in your love for her, want to give her that same thing that you love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Moving on. So third leg of the table.
Yes. So stay listening is learning to be with somebody while they have a tantrum, understanding that the reason that child is crying is actually they're grieving the loss of maybe this idea that they had. But now they're also kind of like making space for this new person that they're going to be who has to now meet this new rule, if that makes sense, right?
Yes.
So like I need to make space for a world in which, and we do this, like when horrible news happens, like we cry and we're like making space for a world in which something like that can happen. Does that make sense? So it's like you have to constantly be rewriting your brain, your understanding of the world. And that's what children are doing. And when they're crying or grieving or tantruming, they're very often actually in the process of becoming the person we're asking them to be. And it's kind of like, when we disturb that process, and I'm not saying you should just let a child cry forever, because there's a way in which we do this that's very specific. I liken it to like birth. Like you wouldn't want to go into a woman who's having birth and she's screaming and, you know, there's blood everywhere. And you're like, hey, listen, I just want the baby. Like no screaming, no blood, like just the baby. Thank you very much. But that's what we do to people, like just the growth, but none of the growth process, because the growth process is ugly. And so in that process of understanding what a child is going through, we need to be there. But you also don't want to leave a screaming birthing woman alone on a chair. Like you want to be there with her, supporting, giving all of the, you know, support and love and handholding and water and towels that she needs.
Ice chips.
Or that cranberry orange juice thing. Yeah, that was good.
That's two legs, right? What's our third leg?
So the third leg is actually, you almost referred to it earlier when you were like, yeah, if they're laughing, I'll just keep making that sound, right?
Right.
So play listening. And play listening is coming to a child with play. And I love to play first. I love to offer play. I say like, You know, if children had a country and a flag and a currency in their land, it would all be play. Like, it's just play is the most powerful thing. And we tend as parents to be like, I'll take my child to a play date. But we don't play with our kids. And I'm not talking about playing a game. I'm talking about play as the like underlying currency, like a language. Like you could say, I want coffee. You could say, let's have sex. Like, they're different things, but you're speaking in English, not to your child. We are not talking about to your child. Let me explain. No, but I mean, you're speaking English.
Unless it's your adult child.
Yeah, that would still
and
be
then
weird.
It would just be coffee.
Yeah, still not the sex. Let's just be clear about
just
that.
Need
unless
to
you're Woody Allen.
Right, that's different. Or that's different.
Oh, boy.
Not. Okay. Just kidding. So basically, you're still speaking in English. And so what I'm trying to say is play should literally be the language of our communication to our children, no matter what we're saying. And so if you're constantly playful, if you can learn to adopt like physical play, witty kind of play, verbal, emotional, it makes the whole parenting landscape much lighter, and it makes children comply.
Yeah.
Because what it's sending is a signal to their brain that all is well in the world. Because play is actually super powerful, because we don't play when we're scared. We don't play when we're upset. We don't play when we're threatened. Conversely, when we play, it signals to us we're not under threat. Mm-hmm. So the more you bring play in, the more you make people feel comfortable. It's why one of the reasons we laugh in life. It's one of the reasons we have good times. Like, it helps us sort of like biofeedback set ourselves up into a comfortable space. And so bringing that into our relationship with our kids is actually one of the most empowering, powerful parenting tools that you will ever have. And most people don't even use it.
It's funny that you say when you play, you can't be, you're not angry when you play or whatever, but it's because I, a lot of times would use playing with my daughter to get me out of a bad mood, or being upset about losing a job, or being sad about having to leave the next day to go to work. It would make me dive into playing with her actually harder and more intense.
Awesome.
Because I felt like that's what her and I need right now, is to bond in this way.
Yeah.
And then it'll get me out of my headspace, because you don't ever want a parent when you're angry.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. So I was using the play for myself just as much as she was using it as well.
I love that. Literally, you just said that, and I like thought, we got to make a bumper sticker like that. Like, parenting while angry, it's like driving while drunk. It's like, you should not be doing this.
Well,
right?
You know, that's my favorite line from the movie Parenthood. Is it's crazy that you don't need a license to be a parent,
right?
But
seriously,
you need a license to drive. Because it's great. This is all the stuff that, you know, I wish people were talking about all the time. But it is that it's all of a sudden you are in charge of another human being. Anyways.
It's total mindfuck.
I digressed. We digressed.
But here's the thing, like, what you're talking about, that's literally why I wake up every morning. Like for me, it's no joke. This is a movement. Like, I'm actually obsessed with us being in a movement where we change the global conversation around parenting. It's not a joke. Like, this needs to happen. And I wake up every day moving this movement forward, because it's a critical change that needs to happen in society. When we're not giving this information and support to parents, we are letting children through this net. And you see it in the drugs, you see it in the suicides, you see it in the shootings, you see it everywhere. Because what happens is, if parents don't have these tools to parent in the young years, the child is off. They're off the rails, and it's very hard to bring a teenager back. It's very hard.
Let's also just say, disclaimer, that we do know, we are aware of children that do come out of the womb, that it doesn't matter how good of a parent you were, that there was something off from the get-go.
Yes.
I think we just have to put that as a disclaimer, because it's
yes.
It is, it does exist.
Yes.
And, you know.
It does. And let's be real, there is so much. I mean, when you have a child, you are basically entering into a blind marriage. Till death do you part. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Looking for life insurance is kind of intimidating, let's be honest, right?
Yes, I don't like it.
It's hard because you're worried about having to do all this paperwork and red tape. But if you go to policygenius.com, once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all of that shiz for you. All the paperwork, all the red tape.
And it doesn't just make life insurance easy. I mean, they can also help you find the right home insurance, mm-hmm. auto insurance, and disability insurance.
Wait,
which
what?
It's happening everywhere. We're all getting older.
That's right. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers, find your best price. It's crazy. This October, take the scariness out of buying life insurance with Policy Genius.
You get that scariness because it's kind of towards Halloween.
Or the Day of the Dead.
That's right. Anyways, go to policygenius.com, get quotes, and apply in minutes.
Boo!
You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Just don't be driving.
Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
I love Brooke Lennon.
I want more sheets from Brooke Lennon.
I want all my
duvets.
Sheets.
Why? Because making a home beautiful is the ultimate form of what? Self-care, Constance.
Oh, boy. Oh,
how long
boy.
Do you spend in your bed?
A third of my life.
That's right. You don't want them to be insanely comfortable?
I spend a third of my life in between the sheets.
What? Yeah, you do what? I've never slept in a hotel that has sheets that feel this good on my body.
It's pretty good. And I also love that it was founded by a husband and wife
aww.
Who wanted to find really beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg.
Are they still together?
I hope so.
Brooke Lennon was the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with the manufacturers and directly with the customers, no middlemen. So it comes to you fast and cheaply.
No middleman. I hate that middleman guy. Yeah, I don't want him in
that?
My bed in my Brooke Lennon sheets because they're the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. And their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. That's
right. I could not recommend them more for my friends, my family, for treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve.
Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners.
What is it, Constance?
It's 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code MOTHERLOAD at Brooklinen.com.
Brooklinen is so confident in their product. All their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty.
Oh my God,
forever.
That means you can return
that's
it.
Right.
So the only way to get 10% off and free shipping mm-hmm. is to use promo code MOTHERLOAD at brooklinen.com. That's
BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code MOTHERLOAD.
Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
And forever, ever, ever.
So let's get back to the table because I have some other questions too.
Okay, so we're on the fourth leg.
Okay. So fourth leg is actually setting limits. So knowing how to set limits with love that are strong, hard limits that we set for a child. And yet, how do we do that while we also listen to the child, listen to ourselves? Very often we're like setting a limit out of anger. It's not a thoughtful limit. And we think like, you know, I'm setting the limit. It's your job to comply. I would actually throw that back at us as parents and say, actually, it's our job to set a limit that can be complied with and then to help our child meet that limit. And over time, they then learn how to hold the limits that we set. But there is a lot of work that needs to go into that process. And we just think, well, I said no, so you should say no. You know, you should know no, what no means. And if you don't, now you're in trouble. And it's like what we do is we basically are constantly in this cycle of punishing people for what they don't know how to do, creating all sorts of loops in their brain that make it harder and harder for them
to
succeed.
These little people have been on the planet for, a couple years, three years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. I mean, their brains are still there. We're actually asking them oftentimes to do things that their brains actually are not capable of doing, right?
Like absolutely.
The reasoning and things like that. One of the things you said about setting limits, and I know you don't have time to get into a lot, we don't, but one of the things I thought was really interesting, you said two things about setting limits. Don't take the side of the limit, which I thought was really cool. And then like if you're setting a limit, if the limit's a wall, there can be a little door.
Yes.
And that they can, you know, so that you're giving them a little bit of, you know, a little tiny window.
Totally. I love to give people a little micro win, like a little win in the process, because setting a limit can feel really overwhelming for a child. It can feel like, who are you to tell me? And that's like part of us is like, well, I'm your parent, dude. But the reality is that on a basic relational level, you want your child to want you to lead them. And in order for them to want you to lead them, you have to be what I call a benevolent leader. And in order to learn how to be a benevolent leader, you want to learn how to take care of the person you're leading. Because when you're leading, you're actually serving. And so, you know, when you learn how to care for this person and give them what I like to call a dignity highway, you know, when they're in trouble, like a little way out of the situation, either giving them dignity or a little win in the process while you're getting the larger win, you care for that person in the process of learning how to serve you and the family while you're also serving. Mm-hmm. And so here are the things that I think trip us up as parents in that moment. First of all, we each have a solution. So like you guys have a problem. The problem is there's too much to carry to the car. Simple. Now, you have a solution, which is you got to take the stuff you said you want. That makes sense. Reasonable parent solution.
Reasonable.
I'm with you, baby. So she's got a solution, which is you carry me and all of it. It can't happen because you actually can't do it. But her desire for it is reasonable. And so that's where we say, okay, instead of going my solution, fine, let's throw everybody's solution in the garbage. And then ultimately, we become that person we didn't want to be. And you didn't even want to throw that thing out. And that's one of the reasons that I think parenting in traditional ways winds up making us treat our kids in ways we don't want, treat ourselves in ways we don't like, become a person we don't want to be, and do shit we don't want to do, right?
And then feel really shameful and guilty about it.
And then either you're pissed off at yourself that you did it or you feel so disappointed or you're pissed off at your kid that they pushed you to that point that you did it, right? So we're either in blame, shame, guilt,
bitches,
whatever.
Man.
It's so fun.
Bitches.
Yeah. Bitches. Bitch, why you push me so hard?
Why bitch, please. Bitch, back up off my shit.
Here's the thing. This is an opportunity to actually, like, I call it like touching God or touching creation, like touching just the most amazing, highest level of reality you can touch, which is you really get yourself super clean. And you look at this situation, and there are so many ways to do this, like in that moment, right? And again, let me just say, and I'll tell you a story in a second, Missy, where I was totally in that same place. Like,
we'll
just
be like, welcome
ago,
to a
right?
2-hour episode of the Mother Load.
Well, yeah. I know. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry. So what I'll say is this: is in that moment, Missy, like you. If we can, as a parent, remember, there's a simple problem here, and I'm trying to. We're fighting over solutions, and I like to say to parents, don't think about the solution, not yours, not theirs. That's just noise. It's just one variable. Instead,
don't think about the solution.
Yeah. Yes, forget about the solution. Focus on the problem with your child, because this is how you teach kids to be true problem solvers.
We all love a good subscription box, right?
I mean, I do.
They're all the rage.
My kid does, especially when it comes addressed to her.
Yeah, what about a subscription box for your kid that's fun, educational, helps them develop creative confidence to what? Change the world.
To change the world. You guys, there's nothing better than something arriving at your house that has everything in it. That's why subscription boxes are so awesome. And this one is for you and your kid to do crafts together.
That's right. KiwiCo create super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
And all the supplies are in it for whatever that month's project is. And they have 7 lines to choose from for kids of all ages, believe it or not.
What?
0 to 104.
To 104?
Yeah.
I want to get the 104 box because that's how old I feel sometimes.
Well, there's Panda, Koala, Kiwi, Atlas, ooh, Doodle, what? Tinker, yes, and Eureka crates. That must be for the 104-year-olds.
Yeah, you get a new box each month. Each month, a child in your life receives a new, fun, and engaging project with all the supplies, all of them, that they need.
Okay, so KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. There is no commitment. You hear that? You can cancel it any time. Monthly options start at $16.95 a month, and that includes shipping.
What? For our listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/motherload to get your first month free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity.
Okay, again, go to kiwico.com/motherload and you get your first month free.
That's kiwi.com/motherload. I beat you to it.
You beat me to it.
So here's my question to you. That's, first of all, that's amazing. Because I was thinking about this morning, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time to get into everything, but one of the things that you did say initially in the science behind the stuff that you do, I don't know if it's hand in hand or everything, but is that, you know, when the fight or flight,
yeah,
the amygdala to amygdala, like, yeah, that, you know, back in the cave days.
What did you just say? What
amygdala? The amygdala in your brain. So there's two amygdala.
Amygdala.
And they're like these almond-shaped things that we used to think all of our fight or flight came from. It turns out it's much more complicated neural network. But basically, the amygdala in your brain, you can – I like to actually literally like pretend I'm touching them. So like I like to put my hand on either side of like behind my ears, and I just push into my brain that way. And it just kind of reminds me like to calm my amygdala. Your amygdala are basically the part of your brain that sense like I'm in danger right now. And think of like a 1980s like Mission Impossible, and you're like going to get the, you know, you're like dun 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 dun, and you're like crying you know, you're on the floor and you're about to grab the museum painting, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden like you hit one of the laser beams.
I hate
when
that happens.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the guards come running in, and everything's like So anytime your brain senses that you've tripped a tripwire, mm-hmm. your brain shuts down. So imagine you just had a car accident and you're by the side of the road, and somebody's like, what's your social security number? You're like,
to me without a car accident, by the way.
But like anytime your brain is tripped, you can't think. You can't access your prefrontal cortex, which is the part of your brain that allows you to think concretely and in your executive function. You can't do it because you go into primordial just survive. And so,
and you were also saying like, if like we were all in a group making baskets, and I was like, and this was cave days, and I'm like, oh, Constance, look at my baskets, and you're like, oh, I want to show everybody a new way of making baskets, and then all of a sudden we hear a cheetah roar, go, rah. Then we all go, ah, because the amygdala goes, or the amygdala?
Amygdala, yeah.
Amygdala.
Whatever. I've never said I was.
Dude, you just remembered the cheetah thing perfectly.
But the idea, and then all of us are connected. Our amygdalas are connected. So we all go, ah. And we run.
Yes.
It hasn't been that long since those days. So that still happens. When she's screaming at me, and it sets off my amygdala too.
Yes,
like
it does.
My heart is pounding. And I understand that I'm supposed to be going into play. But sometimes it's really hard to go into play when you're fucking pissed.
Yeah, it is.
And you know what I mean? Like she comes. And then I understand that I'm the calm, collected, cool leader of the ship. But I also grew up with an angry dad. So I didn't always get that as a kid. So like my question to you is, how do I get past my own shit in that moment to say, you want me to put, after she spat at me and tried to hit me and said no, and, you know, threw her knuckles across the way, like to go, how do I get past my own heart pounding amygdala going blah, 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 blah,
to be the parent? It's a huge question. And honestly, you hang out with me for a while, and I'm not joking. Yeah. I don't mean that facetiously.
Do you have an
literally
island you can go to?
I do.
And is there child
care? I do. There is not childcare. No. But sincerely, that is literally like, so going back to the beginning of this podcast, I found myself in that place, had to figure out how to rewire my brain, all right? And by the way, we didn't do the fifth tool of hand-in-hand parenting,
we didn't
which
get
is
the tabletop.
The tabletop.
Fudge.
Is
the tabletop?
Listening partnership, where we actually create space for ourselves every day to have our own stuff heard. It's like a little island we create for ourselves with someone who can safely listen to us as we offload whatever feelings we need to, as we work through the person we want to become.
Which is what the mother load is for millions and millions and millions of listeners.
We have to spend more time with you, but what if we can't?
Well, no, but so other people, literally everybody can. And let me explain what I mean by that. Okay. You have to find the places, the people, the energies, just like you were talking about, like amygdala to amygdala. So we actually do co-regulate. And so you need to find people that are sort of flying at the frequency you want to fly at. Okay. It's several things. So the three things that I think mothers need and fathers in order to thrive, all right? But whoever's primary caretaking for children, these are the three things that we need in order to thrive. Number one, we need access to good information and tools. And I'm not talking about regular everyday, like just how do you potty 1, 2, 3 kind of stuff. I'm talking about honest to goodness, how our brains work. What do these moments really mean? Let's decode our children's behavior. Let's get in there and understand this, and let's figure out who we want to be. Number two, you need access to a community. And it doesn't have to be my community. It doesn't have to be the hand-in-hand parenting community, which is another wonderful community. It can be any community that you find. It could be a group of mothers you create. It can be this podcast over here at Motherload. It can be anything. It's a community that you create that helps you fly at the frequency that helps you be the person you want to be. Okay. Number three, you need to have your stories heard. So whether that's in listening partnership, whether that's finding a place where you matter, because parenthood can be invisible and it can be thankless, and you can do all of this work and feel like it's not going anywhere. I liken it to like let's say you look at a field and you go out and you till it all day and it's hard work and you come back and you're all bloody, and then you come back the next morning, you're like, there's no freaking grapefruits here in my orchard. But like, the reality is that doesn't mean all the work you did didn't matter. Like, you planted all these seeds, they're still underground. You can't pick the fruit yet. So what gets you to the point between the seed you planted and the fruit you're going to pick? Because you are hungry and you deserve to be hungry, but you can't go to the place you just planted and ask for food. You have to find the food elsewhere until that produces. Okay. And so if we think of ourselves that way and we understand that we are cultivators and we are doing a massively important spiritual job, it's physically draining, it's emotionally draining, but it's also the most important and exciting job you could possibly have on earth. Like, I find parenting this way to be so intellectually stimulating and thrilling. Like, I feel like I'm Steph Curry. Like, this is my version of Steph Curry's life. Like, he gets on the court and he's like, I'm here. I wake up in the morning,
that's,
I see my kids.
Basketball player, you guys. I just love that that's your go-to.
That's my go-to.
As a basketball
that
player.
That is my freaking go-to.
It's not like the Dalai Lama or Gandhi or it's all Steph Curry.
But it is. It's like, I want to be in the game. So many parents wake up and they're like, oh my God, I got to spend another day with my kids. Or like, I got to go pick them up. Or like, oh, you want to play? Like, and it's like, when we're doing that, it's not just our kids' life. It's our life. Like, we are we actually need to show up, and it can be amazing and thrilling. And if you're in that place where it's painful, there's nothing wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with your kid. You are not having access to the things that you need in order to thrive. It is not your fault. And you need to get those things, because this is a job that cannot be done. It would be like getting mad at a pitcher because it like poured water everywhere into all the cups and now it's empty and you're like mad at it. Like, you're supposed to be a pitcher. So parents need that stuff. And so that's what I mean is like, and that's why I created motherflippingawesome.com, because I want parents to have a place. And that's what I provide is tools, teaching tools, a community, and then also a place
and
sporting advice. I am the worst.
You know what's great?
Sporting analogies.
I am terrible at sports.
You know what I love is we will totally send people to your website because you're a lot more knowledgeable and have a lot of the more doctor. It's not doctorly. It's all a lot
concrete
of your
tools.
You got lots more like doctor.
Whereas
doctorly tools.
Missy and I will just, you know, we'll just spout it out. We'll just spout it out and then we'll lead everyone to you.
But it's awesome. I love what you're doing because this conversation is amazing. Sometimes when people first like start working with me and they think like, oh, well, look at you. You got like butterflies coming out your ass. Like, of course, this is easy for you. And like, I want parents to know, like, wherever you're at in your journey and you're listening to this, please don't use any information ever that you hear to beat yourself up. Like, please use whatever information you hear to either inspire you or to inspire you to say like, yeah, that's not for me. Cause like, you know what your parenting journey is. You know your child, you know you. If you're happy with how you do it all, then be happy with it. Okay. There's no one right way to parent, like nothing, no one right system, no one right way.
That is what we say. That's what we
absolutely
teach you.
If you fail, then take that moment. Like, failure, it's just like behavior on kids, right? It's just an interesting data point in the graph. That's it. Like, the other night I was trying to get my kid to sleep and he was driving me absolutely bonkers, and it was kind of a long story, but I very shortly, I wound up telling him, like, go to bed. I was, like, not nice about it. And I wound up going upstairs, and I felt so bad. And I waited for the younger one to fall asleep. And then I went back down because I knew the older one would still be brooding. And I was like, hey, meet me in the bathroom. And so we, like, sat there in the bathroom together. And he was like, I don't want to talk to you. And I said, okay. I said, would you be willing to listen, or would you want to talk first? He goes, I'll listen. Basically, I said to him, I got so upset because I work really hard. Like, I know it seems just obvious to you, but, like, I work really hard to parent you in a very specific way. And then when I ask you to hold a limit that I feel like we've agreed on, and you're old enough now, you're 12, and, like, you don't hold it, it makes me feel like, is everything I'm not doing, does it not matter? And blah, 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 blah. You know, and we had this whole conversation. I said, and I just lost it today, particularly. I was sensitive about something. And I said, and I don't even know if any of this makes sense. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, I get it. And I was like, okay. And so then he started talking to me, and he, like, opened up to me about all this other personal stuff about his that he never talks about. And so I just, like, listened to him for a while. And then he goes, let's say things we hate about each other. And I said, okay.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I hate this about you. I go, oh, yeah. I hate this about you. And he goes, yeah. And we just went back and forth for, like, 5-10 minutes. And then he goes, let's say things we love about each other. And so then we did that for, like, 10 minutes. And then at the end of it, he goes, Mom, I learned a lot about you tonight. And I said, yeah, what'd you learn? He goes, I learned that you have certain expectations about me, and that really, even though I feel like I should be totally in charge of my life, I get that there are times I just need to listen even when I don't want to. So, like,
come on. How old is he?
12.
That's awesome.
47?
And I was like, I said, yeah. I go, thanks, bud. Do you think you could do a little better? And he goes, yeah, I think so. So we'll see. It remains to be told. But what I want to say is that started off as a really yucky failure. And I think it's really important that we remember that a failure is just, it's a marker point for you to go, hey, that didn't go how I want. What would I like to create instead? Right? And very often out of failures come the best inventions, come the best moments, come the best connection. And so when you don't like what's happening, don't beat yourself up. Just tell yourself that's a signal to you that you have a dream in your heart about what you want parenting to look like, and then go fucking build it. Go find the community you can build it with.
Yes.
Failure build it you here. A dream in your heart.
Yes. Yeah.
It's true though. It means
you're
true.
Trying.
No, yeah. Because
it means you're trying.
And it means you care.
Yeah.
Failure just means you have a dream in your heart. Can we put that on a bumper sticker?
That's a good bumper sticker.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything? How do people get in hold of you?
Oh, yeah. We need all of you.
Yes. Motherflippingawesome.com. And
is it flipping with an N apostrophe or ING?
It's ING, but I do have the other one too, so it'll go there as well. But it is flipping.
This could also be Father Flipping Awesome if you're...
There's a Father Flipping Academy in the works.
Motherflippingawesome.com, and then the Hand in Hand Parenting.
Hand in Hand Parenting podcast. Handinhandparenting.org.
Thank you, right. Abigail.
Thanks, Abigail.
Goodbye. It was awesome to be with you guys.
This is a little segment that we like to call I Confess.
My son sleeps with me. And my husband sleeps in another room.
Oh, wow.
That was short and sweet.
My son sleeps with me and my husband sleeps in the other room.
Confessions are something you want to get off your chest because you feel guilty. And what I would just like to say, simple as his confession was you're not alone. I know a lot of people that do that. And just pay attention to what it's doing to your relationship with your kid and with your partner. And just know that you're not alone. There's other people doing that too.
And this is a finite time, especially when a person is little. And at some point, keep checking in and making sure that it's the healthiest choice for you, your partner, and your son.
Yeah. Check in with yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
All right. And if you have I confess, give us a call at 213-259-3235, anonymous hotline. Send us an email to themotherloadpodcast@gmail.com.
And guess what? You could also DM us on our Instagram @motherloadpod.
All right. Thanks for listening. Peace out. If you like this podcast, if you're enjoying listening to it, can you just do us a favor right now? Please subscribe to the podcast and then give us a rating if you like us. Give us a 5-star rating.
Only give us a 5-star.
If not, thank you kindly and don't bother. And if you
everybody's opinion matters. We appreciate it. Right. We love it.
If you give us a 5 or 4-star.
Yeah. I mean, anyways, just subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Tell your friends to review. Tell your friends to rate. And then you do the same thing for yourself and for us. We love you.
Remember, you know your child better than anyone else.
And don't overthink it. You're doing a great job.
This show is executive produced by Constance Zimmer, Missy Pyle, and Sim Sarna. Associate producer is Daniela Silva.
Editor is Waylon Productions. Music is by Josh Cook and Alicia Eagle. This is a Cloud 10 production powered by Simplecast.